Hi, welcome to the Barry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
Today, we have the honor of welcoming an expert we have not had the chance to interview yet, Amber Boyd. Hello, Amber.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
We are so excited to talk to you. You have an expertise in the subject at hand today, and that is our changing relationships after bariatric surgery. I don't know if you're listening or you're watching, if you have experienced this in your own journey or maybe even in the pre-op stages of your journey, but sometimes people, either our friends, our loved ones, our spouses or our partners, can act a little bit differently towards our decision to have surgery and then towards us after we have surgery, especially when we start looking so different. And today's conversation is really all about these changing relationships in our lives as patients. We want to know why it can happen. We want to know how it can happen. And then if these are people that we want to continue to have in our life, how do we support them through our change so they feel confident in really their relationship with us? So if you have been worrying or struggling, thinking about this, this is absolutely the episode to watch or listen. And if you are a member of the Barry Nation support community or a supporter of the podcast, if you support us on Patreon, we have two amazing questions that we're going to ask Amber in our bonus episode. One of them came directly from one of our members who is really nervous about her changing relationship with her spouse. And then the other question that continues to come up in this community is, how do I handle it when somebody says, oh, you've changed? You've changed. You're different. So in that bonus podcast episode, we are going to deep dive into that. So if you are not a member of the community or if you don't support us on Patreon, we welcome you to do so today. We would appreciate your support. Okay, before we dive in, Amber, I'd love to kind of hand the mic to you. Will you introduce yourself to any of our friends and followers that have never met you before?
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm so thrilled to be here. So I'm Amber Boyd. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I'm also a bariatric patient. I am almost 3 years out. Started my journey at 458. I'm down to 294-ish. And so still, it's an ongoing journey. I'm also a podcast host myself. So I have a podcast, Moments of Authenticity. I also am an author. I'm doing a lot of things. I'm also becoming a bariatric counselor, like certified bariatric counselor. So I'm working toward that. And yeah, I'm just trying to support as many bariatric folks as I can in the midst of having a full-time practice as well.
And I just have to say your credentials, your background, the energy that you bring to the space is amazing. And you are not just doing those things. You are doing those things extremely well. I just want to point that out. Just want to point that out. Like I said, we are thrilled to really dive into this conversation, and we are even more appreciative of it because not only are you going to offer us expert advice from your clinical background, but your lived experience as a patient. And we just appreciate your willingness to have this honest conversation because we know how hard it is to be brave when it comes to, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about our own journey. All right, my friends. Well, if you're ready, I say let's dive in. Hey, friends, it's April, and I want to welcome Dive Bar Nutrition to the Barry Nation family. They are official sponsor of the Barry Nation podcast, and we are thrilled to have Professor Phil and his team on board. Jason, Natalie, and I have been enjoying Dive Bars for years because they taste amazing, they have great macros, and they are really built to help us succeed. Dive Bar Nutrition is just launching a new bariatric friendly called Dive Bar Bites. They're the mini versions of their best-selling bars and they're caffeine-free. You can buy a Dive Bar Madness kit and discover what flavor is your favorite. Head to Dive Bar Nutrition right now, get that Dive Bar Madness kit, and join us to crown your favorite Dive Bar flavor at the end of March. And don't forget to use code BARRYNATION when you check out to get 22% off your order. So I think where we want to start today, actually, is because all three of us are patients. I want us to describe if or how we feel our relationships has changed. And Jason, I'd love to start with you, and then Amber, and then I'll go. So Jason, have you noticed anything?
Honestly, I haven't noticed anything that is in the negative realm of things, other than people will now talk about how afraid they were for me before I had the surgery. Like, they want to talk about it, and it's like they didn't know how to bring it up, or it was something that they were always worried about or were really concerned, but didn't know how to say anything because they didn't want to hurt my feelings, or, you know, they just didn't know how to approach it. But that's legitimately, it is really, that's it, aside from how evangelical I've gotten about the bariatric process. how I've just kind of dove, head first into it, and it's, they notice that more than anything. It's just how, like, this, how I'm taking the most opportunity of the second lease on life that I have, because I know not to take it for granted now, because when I was told by my, by my primary care physician at 44 that I was actively dying, that puts things into perspective. Like, you kind of get to realize that when you do get another chance at that, like, it's not to be taken lightly, and you need to help as many people as you can and do the most that you can.
I appreciate you bringing up that thing that we talk about all the time. What could someone have told me before I made the decision to have surgery that would have encouraged me to actually have surgery? So that is a critical part of our relationships with people. And that will be kind of something that I share along my personal journey, which would also be another great podcast episode now that I'm thinking. I digress. Amber, what was your experience?
Yeah, so I think I've had a plethora. I think that one is, I get the term skinny mini now, which is right. As a person who's 5'2", still almost 300 pounds, it is a really awkward experience for someone to, like, mention skinny and mini in, like, conversation with me. So that always feels like a cognitive dissonance. Like, that doesn't feel true. And I have to sometimes correct folks where I'm like, that doesn't align with me. And I'm not at the version of myself that I'm ready to be yet. And so that feels like a really strange experience. I also noticed, and April and I had this conversation when we were talking about this podcast, is I noticed myself, I was a person who was like the life of the party, or at least like really loud and boisterous and like in, well, I still can be, but I noticed that when I didn't, I noticed that I listened a little bit more, and I was like, oh, I don't know that I like what I hear because I'm not taking up as much space, both physically and, like, audibly, I'm not taking up as much space. So now I'm hearing things that I'm like, okay, I wasn't listening to that before. So that makes me feel a little uncomfortable, and like needing to step away from certain friendships or relationships with folks. And then lastly, I know I'm, gabbing on, but the idea that folks are making a lot of comments about my looks now. And so, and that's not to toot my horn, that's to really say, like, I had two aunts come up to me and say, you have always been pretty, but you are beautiful now. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to try to receive this in the intention that it was given to me, but that felt shady. And I was like, but with love, like, I know that they love me. I know that. I just know that, like, I've never felt beautiful. I've never felt sexy or any of those kind of descriptors. And so sometimes when I hear it from other people in conjunction with who I've been throughout my life, feels like it almost affirms that in a negative way, right? Like, oh, you thought I was pretty. Yeah. And so did I, but I never thought I was beautiful or sexy or any of the other things. So yeah, no, and that's a recent experience.
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Bari Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life,
become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at BerryNationPodcast.com to learn more.
One of the things with that is that people who really do love you and are in tune with you like that are going to notice that you shine a little different now, mm-hmm. that you've dropped and you start kind of feeling that way about yourself as you kind of start growing into your new form and, you know, kind of coming to grips with the new you, so to speak. People will see that, like that comes across mm-hmm. to them. And a lot mm-hmm. of times they really don't know how to describe it in such a way. And so how, you know, like what you said, what they may feel like is, you know, is a very wonderful thing they're saying to you doesn't mm-hmm. always come across that way. So, but mm-hmm. it's good that you mentioned it that way, because I think a lot of times that's really where it comes from is a place mm-hmm. of love.
Absolutely. And I feel that more often than not, depending on who it is, if it's a person I don't really have a relationship with, I'm like, I don't care what you meant. I don't care how you meant it. You don't know me. And that feels weird. And I'm just like, uncomfortable with it. Like, it doesn't feel like a compliment. So, yeah.
That's a really interesting aha, because it really does matter who's saying it to us, right? It does matter what level of relationship we have with that people, with the person that's saying that. Like just how you said when your aunts made that comment, you really tried, you know, you got your brain there, was like, I'm taking this from a place of love. I understand them. I understand. But at the same time, you're like, this is this is
a little shady. It gave very much shady. And I was like, if they were someone else, or if I knew that they didn't like me, I would definitely assume that y'all are like, right? Oh, okay. Oh, so y'all want to fight. That's what you said to me.
Knuckle up.
Yeah, please knuck if you book, because I'm ready to knuck if you book, okay? Please.
Oh my God, I feel like that needs to be on a t-shirt or something. Like,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, you know, my relationships were similar to the ones that you both have had. I was always kind of the loud, boisterous, a bit over the top fat friend. Mm-hmm. I had and continue to have very rich relationships with quite a few people, even at my highest. But thank goodness, the people closest to me in my life, when they realized they were starting to think or just treat me differently, they came to me and they were able to say, something's just weird about this and I don't know, or like, yeah, right. They were at least able to vocalize, and we were able to have a conversation with that. And I think the biggest change in my relationships has been kind of like what Jason said, like we've dedicated our lives to helping other bariatric patients. And that means I have less time to dedicate to those established relationships and friendships. So, right. That is a change, because then I think they worry about, well, am I still valuable, or where do I fit into your life? And where does this friendship fit in? So yeah, a lot of conversations around those types of things, but we know there are thousands, probably millions of members of the bariatric community who have experienced some very negative, some very hurtful, and just not some positive experiences when it comes to their relationships. So really, I guess the first thing we want to know are why do relationships before or after surgery change?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that one of the biggest reasons, or one of the major reasons why I think relationships change, is because the relationship to yourself changes. And so how you see yourself, how you move in the world, how you respond to things, they do start to change. Like, you have to be very intentional about this journey, right? You have to be mindful about what you're consuming all the time. You have to be worried about if you're getting enough protein. Are you taking your multivitamins? So there is a very regimented way that, like, going into this lifestyle takes, and that focus on yourself, when it hasn't been your main goal or main function in people's lives, people are like, excuse me? You are focusing only on yourself, and it's not an only, but I think people see things kind of in a all or nothing. Either it's all you or all me, and not like a where's the gray area here, right? Where's the wise mind in this? And so I think one of the biggest reasons why things change is because people see that there is a change and a focus and an intentionality about like yourself and your health. If that has never been the case, or at least in that particular relationship, when there's the change, I think people start to feel like they are no longer, like you were talking about, no longer have the same significance, which is not necessarily true. It's like, I can love you and love me more, right? Like being able to choose to live, not just like exist, because a lot of us, and I don't wanna speak for everybody, so I'll just say some of us, we were existing and not living because we couldn't do certain things. We physically, emotionally, mentally, we could not push ourselves to do certain things. And this journey, although personal, does change the dynamic in which we sit in relationship to ourselves and to other people.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned, we changed the outlook on what we're consuming, because mm-hmm. it's not just about protein, vitamins, water, and those things. We the consumption of what we hear people say, the yes. consumption of how people treat us, the perception of other people's outlooks on us, those are all things we start consuming as well. And, you know, it's one of those things where if my shift in loving myself and keeping myself alive is a problem for you, then there's mm-hmm. a much deeper conversation we need to have, because you're important to me, but I'm also important to me. And if I'm not important enough to you to keep myself alive, aside from what I can do for you, then we've got some serious talking to do.
It's the for you. That's really like that. The for you is really,
yeah, it hits a little different.
It does hit different, because I don't think that people think about that often. Like when you are putting yourself aside, you are sometimes like boosting and boasting other people up. You're not holding yourself up the same way. And that's not everybody's experience. I want to make sure that that's a disclaimer. I'm not saying that that's everybody's experience. But if you have existed in a body that has been both hyper visible and hyper invisible at the same time, that is an experience that people don't know fully. If you haven't been obese, where doctors are telling you that you are going to die, that you need to get it together and bring up your weight and weight loss surgery and other things at every single meeting, you don't understand it. Like what it feels like to, like, your relationship to yourself can sometimes be shaken because of all the ways in which you're engaging all of these spaces, right? I want to make space for you, April, because I know you look like you had something to say.
Oh, I got so much to say. I have so much to say. I could just talk for 8 years and I still wouldn't get it all out. What is absolutely mind-blowing to me, you guys both said some really profound things. When I look at myself, I really don't think I've changed that much. But how I presented myself in the world absolutely has changed. And while it doesn't feel that way from my vantage point, it absolutely has to look different from everybody else's vantage point. Yeah. So I guess exactly that. I haven't changed, but how I present myself has changed. And Jason, when you were talking about consumption, all of a sudden after surgery, the only thing that I really wanted to talk about to anybody that would listen was what I was experiencing and what I was learning, because it was like, oh my God, did you know? Oh my God, did you know? Right. Like, so now because I'm consuming so much, you know, I mean, you know me, I deep dive all the research and this, I mean, you know, so yeah, no wonder why people are like, what the hell is going on with you? Like, all you wanted to do was go talk about the Seahawks and eat pizza, and now you want to tell me about the disease of obesity and go for a walk. What?
We're talking about gut health.
Right.
Okay, like, about microbes. You need to be
having fiber gummies or some kind of like Metamucil going on.
Right.
Are you having your 8 cups of water with your Metamucil? Come on.
did you have a healthy poo today? Did you have a healthy poo? Yeah.
You go more than once? Because if you went more than once, you are a gold mine. Okay. More than one time. Right. My goodness.
Well, and I would imagine too, right? We all have these relationships with people, and we all have a dynamic or a role that we play within that relationship. And if a friendship or an intimate relationship is built on what you do socially, like going out and eating or drinking, or if your relationship is a little bit, I don't know if this is the right word, but codependent, right? If somebody enjoys you at a larger size, let's say, they're terrified that you are going to become something that they're no longer attracted to. So maybe they're right. So there's all kinds of these dynamics at play, because not just are we emotionally changing and how we present ourselves in the world, but we're physically changing. So it's right. No matter where somebody looks towards us or in us, they're going to see something different.
Yes. Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I did have a point that I wrote down about role shifting from dependent or codependent to independent, right? Some folks are physically unable to care for themselves in a particular kind of way. Not everybody, not all the time, but there is a specific role that people have played in our lives that, you know, maybe a caregiver, or maybe a person who is used to like taking care of all the groceries or take care of all the things within the household. And there were, you know, limitations to what could be done. And when those roles start to shift, right, I think there's a fear of being left behind or no longer needed. I think there's this idea that, you know, there are fear of boundaries being set, like somebody being like, I actually don't like the way that you talk to me. Mm. I actually don't like the way that you treat me. People are fearful that like, oh, how I'm being received is also going to change, right? I think there are certain things that I would have taken at my 458 self that at 294, I refused. I'm not entertaining certain things. I'm not like, you know, I think that folks are very overt with their sexualizing as well. I'm also like, no, thank you. Like at 458, I might have hook, line, you know what I mean? But that, I'm like, oh, attention. I like that.
Might have fallen for your Dollar General lines back then, but not today.
That's what I'm saying.
See, yeah, the thing about it that I've always talked about when people bring up this specific situation, and you really kind of nailed all of it, was that, you know, at our heaviest weight, we're just so happy to have people that want to be around us. We don't care why. We don't give it's like, we'll get you 6 ways from Sunday in any capacity that there is, because we're just happy that somebody wants to be around us, or wants, lets us be around them, whether it be at work with a boss or a job, or, you know, your friend group, or, you know, a significant other. It doesn't matter. We'll take a lot of things. And then, like you said, it's your, you know, once we start shedding some pounds and start realizing what the hell's going on, we also get that mental clarity post-op that we didn't have before. And we start really putting the pieces together and start saying, you know what? I'm not going to take this shit anymore. I don't have to take it. Like, you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. And I'm just going to be like, oh, cool. I guess, you know, it's just Tuesday and you're in a mood. No, like, we're not doing that. And the hardest thing I see people like have a hard time with is everybody wants to blame the surgery for the divorce rate, or like the post-op. It's like, oh, I'm a statistic. It happened. Like, no, that's not how that works. That's not why. What happens is you have somebody that's been together for 20 years, let's say, and for 15 of those years, they've been treated a certain kind of way and they've put up with it. Well, now they're post-op and they're like, you know what? Not going to do that. And the significant other's like, well, I mean, I've been doing it for this long. You didn't have a problem with it. So now all of a sudden you're too good for me now. Like, oh, you have dropped a couple pounds and you're cool now. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with the fact that this is like, nobody should be treated this way, regardless of how much you weigh, no, regardless of any of that.
It's that all, oh, you've changed. But in reality, it's like, no. I changed before to meet your needs. So now I refuse to continue to change myself to meet your needs. I am now fully living in my authentic self and how I want to show up in the world.
I would say it's a both and, because I think you do change. I think this process, you do not have the ability to stay the same. Like, there's no ability to stay the same, because not only do you have to change your mindset about like your relationship to yourself, but your relationship to food. You have to change. There's a lot of things that you have to change. Now, your foundational, like your core values, I don't think change.
Yeah.
But I think you are required to shift quite a bit. And I think that in that shift, sometimes the desire to please leaves, because it's like, I don't have time to please you and make sure I'm getting all my water, vitamins, and protein in. And I know I keep bringing those three things up. It's a plethora, all the things, et cetera, right? If I'm not taking care of me, how can I be in relationship to you in a way that, like, we both benefit from? Because in the other version of it, you benefited from that. And again, this is not everybody's situation, not everybody's circumstance, but I do believe that the relationships that change, like, the foundation of them change. And I want to also talk about the fact that, like, people who are considered obese or overweight are respected so much less. It's almost like less than human sometimes, even in like medical professional settings, right? You are looked at, like, every time I went into the doctor, I feel like I was not heard. And so I think there's also the caveat of other intersecting identities, but overall, going into a space, being a bigger person, or even if I said, I remember going in and I got my surgery done in Mexico because my insurance didn't cover it. And I remember having this conversation with a PCP when I got back, and I was like, oh, I've lost like 80 pounds, I think, at the time, or maybe something less. And she was like, well, you still have a long way to go. So, like, she was so minimizing and invalidating, I literally started to cry. And look, I'm a tough gal, but I was like, I felt so small, like so hyper visible and hyper invisible at the same time. She basically told me, do not hype myself up, because I have so far to go from being morbidly obese. And it is so disheartening to have a professional look up and down and basically tell you it's not enough. Not that I was saying it was enough. Not that I was saying I'm done. It just was like, you don't feel human in those spaces. Like, they don't care that you, like, you have a heart and you feel things, and that this is, you know, there was no congratulations. No, you know, I'm glad you took your life in your hands in a different kind of way. There was none of that.
That's so terrible to hear, because we don't say only around here. I don't give a shit if it's 5 pounds. Like, 5 pounds is 5 pounds. Like, you're making progress. And to try to diminish that being a medical professional is crazy to me. Like, I was fortunate enough to stay with my primary care physician from the time I was at my heaviest and, you know, having that issues until now. Like, I still see her now. And even when I was starting to regain back a little bit, she didn't talk crazy to me. She was still proud of the progress I made. She was happy with labs, happy with the way things were going. Like, she comments on the way everything about me has changed since I came in, you know, when I was at my heaviest. So the fact that anybody in a primary care physician role like that would speak that way is so disheartening to hear.
And I would imagine too, there are probably people, or you could have somebody in your life who is maybe using similar language or words as a way to kind of keep you the same, out of fear, out of anger, out of frustration, out of worry, right? Like, well, whatever those things are driving them. But those words cut deep and quick. And people who are looking to, you know, hurt you or keep you where you are, They know those things, right? They know those things. And that's why I think this conversation, well, it's important for so many reasons, but right, it's like when our spidey senses go up, right? Like, I think you know what I'm talking about. When somebody says something or they do something, or you just sense like something's off with this person, you're not wrong. Your intuition is not wrong, right? Something is telling you that it has shifted. And what we would really like to know, Amber, is so when those spidey senses do go off, and when we do think that maybe we are moving into or through a change in some type of relationship, what can we do to kind of address it? Like, how do we even start the conversation with somebody?
Yeah, I think it first starts with validating yourself. Right? Because I think the one thing that will happen is that other folks might tell you, oh, you're tripping, you're doing too much, you're blah, blah, blah. And so therefore, you don't even believe yourself, right? So I think it's important that if you do feel something, that you do lean into your intuition and your discernment. Now, how you go about that, right, is not necessarily like going in and, you know, I think you can have conflict without like fighting. I think there's a way to have conflict. And when I say that, I mean conversation. I noticed you said this. I want to understand what's underneath that, because, and I know that's therapy talk, but it is important to understand what folks mean when they say what they say, because my immediate response, again, is to knuckle up. But I also want to understand, what do you mean by that? Because if I'm also inferring it in a way that you didn't intend it, I want to make sure I do, so that I can also respond in a way that's honestly responding to that versus my emotion too. Right? My emotion is valid. And my first response, if I have a response, I'm allowed that. And, right? What do you mean by that? So that I can have a clear understanding and I can respond to that thing, right? I think it's also recognizing that certain people don't mean you well. Even the ones that you love, they don't mean you well, because they also don't want you to be competition. I think that losing weight, you know, if you've always been the fat, funny friend, but never the one that gets the, you know, people that you're out to date or interested in, right? But that person does. Sometimes they'll put you on somebody that you don't like, not attracted to, none of that. But when the tides have turned and you are the object of the attention, people start feeling away. So I think it's important that everybody don't mean you well.
Yeah, they want you doing better until you're doing better than them. And then it becomes a problem. And you don't want somebody catching a stray. So that's why you got to let them know real quick, like, hey, did you mean this way? Because if not, if not, we can talk about it. We can peel back some of these layers. But otherwise, we may have to dust some dirt up. We have to move some furniture. Need some furniture moving. I'm just saying.
Okay. I love that. But yeah, no, I think it's true that asking questions, coming at it with curiosity, I think in any relationship is really important, because a lot gets lost in our initial interpretation. And I'm guilty too. So I'm not saying that this is just one person specific. I'm saying, you know, a good portion of us will immediately respond, but don't go in with curiosity to understand what's underneath the comment. Sometimes the comment is what it is, and they meant exactly what they mean, and you can like move with that information accordingly. Mm-hmm. And the one thing though that really, I don't know what's underneath this comment, but you're gonna look weird. You're gonna look blah, blah, blah. Like when people say you're gonna lose too much weight, you might look like you're on drugs. You might look like, and I don't understand why people project that onto another person. If they're going to look how they look, let them be who they are. I don't understand why that affects you in that kind of way. You know what I mean? Like, that has nothing to do with you. But ultimately, like, I don't understand that comment. And I will always, like, feel uncomfortable with somebody projecting onto someone what their journey is going to be. Each of these are individual. We are like snowflakes. Each one has its own imprint, own journey, own specifics. So what you can eat, I can't eat. What you can drink, I can't drink. Like, there are certain things, you know, and vice versa, that will take place. So to project or assume that something is or isn't with someone, you know, it doesn't feel fair either. So those kind of comments and like backhanded compliments, are manipulative, I believe, and can sometimes be really abusive. And I don't think that people realize or recognize that they've been in intimate partner violence for a long time just by the little comments. It's like death by a thousand cuts. It's little tidbits that kind of chomp away at you that you didn't even recognize until you're like, oh, I don't like how that felt. I don't like how that was said. And I'm saying something now, whether it's now or later. Anytime I recognize it, you have the ability to say something. You have an ability to also change what the dynamic is in your relationship. Going into it with a desire to be like, I noticed this. Can you explain to me, or can we talk about like what this means for you? Because I have my own interpretation of it, but I want to understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, because when the realization hits, it almost comes back like a movie montage, because you can go back to all the times they've said something similar to that, and the feeling that you got with every single one of those, you know, little comments and little side stares and glares and shit. I just tell people, good thing you don't have to see me naked if you think I'm going to look weird. Like, it ain't your problem. So I look weird all day long. I look like yogurt in a Ziploc bag. I don't give a shit, as long as I don't have to buy 56 pants. Guess what? Cool. I'll tuck it in. I'll do what I got to do. Don't worry about how I look.
Amber, I think you hit the nail on the head, right? It's about control. It can be about manipulation. It can be about them being scared about you moving on, right? Whatever it is. But people are really good at hurting other people. And I do really believe that hurt people hurt people. And it can be really intimidating, I think, when somebody who you think is hurting is actually doing the work to truly change for the better. And our change oftentimes can be a mirror for other people in our lives, right? Because all of a sudden, if I can do something that is extremely difficult and challenging, there's no reason that they couldn't be doing the same. Right. So now all of a sudden they're taking on all of this guilt and shame that was never, you were never giving it to them. Mm. It's just now all of a sudden your change and your decisions to do things differently is a reflection on them. Because again, if I can do it, you could do it too. Right.
Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Berry Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to join us.
That's a really poignant statement, and it gives me an example comes to mind. I remember when I was talking about going through the surgery, and my grandmother, whom I love, she felt guilty about having, she wasn't much of a cook. She didn't cook very often. So we ate out a lot. And she felt really guilty for not having had more nutritious meals and things like that. And I was like, Grammy, I am 30 something years old. Like that, you did the best that you could, make sure I had what I needed. I'm not asking you to have done something different. I'm not asking that of you. And I'm not asking you to hold on to that. That's not for you to hold on to. It happened, right? Like, we ate how we ate. We all, got our own situation going on. I'm taking charge of that. Like, that is my responsibility now. I can't sit here and blame you. I can say that it was impacted by, but I'm not blaming you. And so I think my family too, like, we've all had these conversations about having weight loss, because all of us really are overweight, obese, whatever. And I know that there's been a lot of stop and starts, and I'm the first person who actually went to go do it. And so that is also you really went to go. Yes, absolutely. On the table. Like, let's get her done, because I needed to make sure that I no longer had diabetes, high blood pressure. Like, I was having a hard time wiping my ass. So if I can't take care of myself, I don't have somebody to come take care of me. I have to take care of me. And I also told myself that I wasn't going to be one of the ones in my family to have diabetes. And I did anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And it broke my heart. I was like, wow, I really set in motion like what I was trying to undo, right? I was trying to dispel, and I didn't, but now I have. And so no longer diabetic, no longer on blood pressure medication, only my vitamins and my, the other things that they tell me I should take. But yeah, I think that the relationship too, when you have other folks who are larger in your family, one thing was said to me is, you're going to leave me behind. Like, that literally was a statement. You're going to leave me to be the fat one. And I was like, no, you have a choice. You have a choice and you have good insurance, which I didn't have.
Right? So you're like, you got no excuse.
If you're ready to make a change, babes, I'm with you. I support you 100%, whatever you want to do. You know? So, and I say that with love too, because I know whoever, like when they watch this, they're going to know it's them, but I love them.
Well, we all do things out of love. Some of us show it differently. Sometimes the love we show is not received in the way in which we interpreted it. But we also can't take responsibility for everybody else's happiness, because just like what you said, if we continue to elevate everybody else, we are not elevating ourselves. And when we realize that, we realize that. It's one of those things when you can't, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Yeah. And, right. And hopefully our decision to put our life on a different path will inspire others to do it. Because if they seeing us do it, we can do it. And the most powerful thing I really believe about sharing all of our journeys, right, individually and collectively, is that the journey is not perfect. Nobody does this perfectly. The journey is the stumps, the stalls, the bumps, the bruises, the straight up fall on your face, the going backwards. That is the journey. And the more truthful we are about that, I think the more accessible it becomes to everybody, because hopefully it lowers the pressure and the expectation to do it perfectly, to do it well. Yeah.
One of the things that you said before you close it out, or I wanted to say, you were talking about elevating. And what came to mind was a picture of someone at the bottom of a heap, like pulling everybody up. What happens when that person no longer has anybody to pull up and is left down here, right? I think sometimes it is the idea of elevating, pulling up, elevating, pulling up. I think that in order for us to be able to help those who we want to help, it is important to center and ground in what we know is true for ourselves. I think it makes more space, it makes more capacity to show up in ways that we want to when we are full, right? If your vessel is empty, they talk about this all the time in social media world, right? Like, if your vessel is empty, pouring from an empty vessel leaves everybody with nothing. But if you are full and taking care of yourself in ways that are not just physical, it's not just a vanity thing, right? It really is a relationship, a change in relationship, how you see yourself, how you engage food, consumption, all the things you're consuming, that makes more space for the ways in which you want to show up, not because you have to, but because you can, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that feels important as well.
Yeah, well, and people also need to realize that these changes in relationships don't have to be one-sided. You don't have to expect one person to just change the way they're treating you, or you the way they're treating them. You guys can come together, have the tough conversations it's going to take, and you guys can make the changes together. Because you just telling somebody that you don't like what they said isn't going to make them change what they said, or like, you have to explain to them what they said, how it made you feel, how what they said made you feel, you know, and you guys can make those changes together. And there's more positive that's going to come out of that than the negative side. And, you know, we've kind of alluded to it in this whole episode. Like, if your whole circle's not clapping for you, it's time to replace some of the people in your circle.
Yep. And I know a lot of you are probably listening and watching, and you're going, yeah, great. Have a conversation with people that I'm absolutely unprepared to have. Like, and we say this often, but a key to this journey is learning how to communicate with people in our lives that we care about. And if you don't practice having these conversations, nothing is going to change. And we know that it's scary and intimidating to have this conversation, because you don't know what is going to await for you on the other side. But if you don't start, you're never going to get there. When I was learning how to do this work, and I know it sounds crazy, I was introduced to a book like 15 years ago when I was just a baby teacher in the classroom. And we had to go through a professional development course. But the book that it was based on was called Crucial Conversations. And the book was about how do you have a meaningful conversation when the outcome is extremely important to you, right? So like you could lose something, you could gain something, right? It's this like, it's a conversation that is really hinging on a lot. And many people just don't have them because they don't know how to do it. But my biggest takeaways from that book and from the work that I've done with my own therapist, and again, this is what I have done. I'm just sharing what I've done. Is I actually practice these conversations in my head. And I have a couple rinse and repeat lines that I go to. And my three is, you know, when you said, when you did, I felt this way, right? It's my magical sentence. The other thing that I will often kind of go back to is like, man, you know, I've just been feeling kind of off lately. Like, here's what I've been experiencing. Or like last time we hung out, I don't know, something just felt weird. Did you feel the same way? Right. So I invite them into the conversation instead of like going at it with them. Or with the people that I'm most close with, I can just be like, are we good? Like something just feels like straight up weird. And I can't put my finger on it, but I really value our friendship. I really value our relationship. And this just doesn't feel good for me right now. Now, granted, this was 15 years ago, and I've done a lot of work to do those things. But before I have a conversation with almost anybody that is crucial to me, I practice that conversation in my head. I say it 8 ways to Sunday. I figure out what feels the best to me. And if I start having that conversation with somebody and I notice it goes from a conversation to a confrontation, I end it. I end it. And I just simply say, you know what? This is going in a direction that I don't feel comfortable with. And sometimes if I have my wits about me, I'll say, you know, this all of a sudden feels a little confrontational. And that was not at all my goal or intention. So I'm going to stop the conversation here. And I'd like to pick it up with you later. Again, years of freaking practice. But what we kind of started off this podcast talking about with, these should not, and we don't want them to be confrontations. Like these need to be conversations that we have with people. And if we value the people in our lives and we value these relationships and we want them to continue in our life, we have to learn how to have these conversations. It's where it all starts.
Yeah. Well, one of the things too that I like to often explain, like when people ask about this same type of situation, is nobody can tell you how they made you feel. They can tell you what they meant. They can tell you what they said. They can talk about all those things, but nobody can tell you how their statement impacted you and how it made you feel. So that's always a good jumping off point, just saying like, you know, like April said, you know, I'm not trying to do this in a confrontational way. All I'm saying is what you said made me feel this way. And, you know, it's a good way to start about it. And if it's somebody like April said, if you're comfortable with that person, there's 1,000 different ways you can do it. It's going to come out better than you make it in your mind 9 times out of 10, because we try to hype things up in our mind that are going to be, thing, and things are going to crash and burn. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you get, you know, oh, I didn't mean it that way. I'm so sorry that you took it that way. That's not what I meant, you know, and then you can kind of start the work from there. But the most important thing is just to have the tough conversation, because it's going to be worth it 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Amber, as always, we leave these conversations absolutely just mind blown by what we learn and what we discover about ourselves and about our own journey. Is there one piece of this conversation that you want our listeners and the people watching to leave with today? Is there like that one big thing that you hope they're taking away from this conversation?
Yeah, that the relationship with you is the most crucial in this whole journey. You are worthy of getting the support that you need. If it's not coming from the people that you love, you can make space for their concerns, but don't allow it to consume your decision to care for yourself. And if you decide to, know that like the possibility of resentment is there, the idea of like guilt and shame on yourself, you are worth more than sitting in the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. So put you first. And it doesn't mean that you're putting anybody last. It means that you're putting you first so that you can make space for the ways in which you would like to show up. And so health, if you don't have health, you don't have anything. So putting yourself first as far as your health, that is a gold mine. So just wanting to say, put yourself in a position where your health is paramount and important. You are important.
Amber, I know people are going to want to connect with you after this episode because people are going to be just as mind blown as we are. Where can they find you?
Yes. So I am on social media, on Instagram in particular, at Healing Through Authenticity. And I also have a book that is on Amazon. It is called Preparing for Your Bariatric Journey. It is a journal / workbook that I wrote 2 days post-op from my surgery, and or at least started it. I got the crux of it when I was sitting in recovery. My hope was to make sure that the things that I didn't receive, that folks don't have to go through this journey without having some kind of something to hold on to. So this is a book you can go back to, you can revisit. It also has in here like the, really checking in with yourself, questions like, did anything feel intolerable? Who have you checked in with? Like, it's all intentional and mindful to make sure that your journey as you start out is not one of just like, you know, being all over the place. So Healing Through Authenticity is my at on social media, my social media handles. And then I have a podcast called Moments of Authenticity.
And I have to say, friends, I am going through Amber's book now 4.5 years post-op. And while the title is about preparing for surgery, the questions are absolutely relevant to me right now where I am at. And I have to say, it's been really refreshing to go back and read those questions. And I'm challenging myself, how would I have answered this before? Or what do I think I would have said? And what am I saying today?
Oh, wow. I love that.
It's awesome. It's just awesome. So I would highly encourage you. I purchased my copy on Amazon. You guys can do the exact same thing, and we will make sure that we link that in our bio if you would like to welcome it into your own lives. Amber, thank you so much for joining us today. This has been amazing.
Thank you so much. And thanks for like welcoming me in to be my most authentic self. So thank you all.
we live for that. Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Amber, it has been an absolute pleasure. We can't wait to have you back on because I know we're going to, because there's so many things we didn't get to unpack in this one episode. So just be it. And to the community, thank you guys so much for all that you've done to help support and share the podcast with people that need it. And if there's somebody that this episode would resonate with that you know, please share that with at least one person that you know would benefit. I'm sure this will benefit many people, so share it many times. You can also support us on Patreon as well as become a member of the community at barrynation.mn.co. And just remember, at the end of the day, you got this, we've got you, and we will see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, friends.
Bye, everybody. Bye.